Welcome to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. The Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce has for many, many years been the voice of business in Indianapolis. They've been behind virtually, at least in the modern era, the era, from 1960 forward, been behind every major, not just event, but every major initiative in this city. Not just building up the downtown, improving the infrastructure, but improving race relations, building lines of communication between different groups in the community, talking about education in a very, very strong voice. But I've had some feelings in the last couple of years that the chamber has changed its mission. Maybe they just haven't done a good job telling everybody about it. The new head of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce is Michael Huber. He was named last Thursday, and he joins me live. First, congratulations.
Thanks, Amos. Thanks for having me on the show.
So now, you were out at the airport in charge of trying to tear down the old terminal, put something up in the new terminal. You know, Drew wanted a dance club out at the old, he was trying to, yes, you were, you told me that. He was trying to raise money to have a dance club out of the old thing. And now, what caused you to leave the challenge of bringing economic development to the airport and coming to be the voice of business in this community?
Well, first of all, it was hard to leave the airport. I've been out there for a year, and it's a great gig. It's just really fun. Aviation is fun. There's a lot happening out there right now that you mentioned with the tear down of the old terminal, trying to attract companies to develop the old terminal. We were looking at some prospects like aviation manufacturing and aviation technology and getting a lot of good feedback there. I think when the chamber job opened up, it's not something initially that I thought a lot about, just because as I looked at it, you know, my experience is more transactions and project management. What I'd seen the chamber as more of a, certainly as a leader and somebody who convenes and brings the business community together. But the more that I looked at it and the more people talked to me about it, I thought, you know, this could be too exciting to pass up. And it could be the chance, you know, Amos, I've got a particular passion for the development of the city, particularly on urban redevelopment. Mm-hmm. And it could be a chance to get engaged with that world again now in a different role, in mm-hmm. a role that involves bringing the business community together around these initiatives. But it's still something that I have a particular passion for, and I got really excited about it.
Has the role of what the chamber had been changed? I mean, because there's some of us who've been around a few years that think that, you know, chambers of commerce by definition are the voice of business in their particular community. So they're one part speaking for business. And sometimes that voice may go against what the politicians want. Sometimes that voice may go against what minority communities want. Sometimes it goes against what neighborhoods want, but they're the voice of business. And then they do things to help their members because it's a membership organization, and people, businesses, whether they're a small barber shop or Eli Lilly, are making investments in the chamber, and they're benefits that they want, you know, discounts for this and perks and benefits. Has it changed? Because the chamber has merged into it a bunch of economic development organizations, and there's some of us out there that say, well, maybe the chamber's more interested in the shiny new responsibilities they have, and they've forgotten some of the older traditional responsibilities.
So I really think if you look back at the creation of the chamber over 100 years ago, I don't think that core mission has changed in that it is supposed to be the voice of the business community, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to represent the interests of the business community and help, you know, hold elected officials possible and advocate for big changes within the city and the metro area. I do think, though, that the context has changed in two main ways. I think, number one, it's true that you have these economic development organizations that have now come under the chamber's umbrella. I think the
what do they include? Because the listeners may not know what else is part of that umbrella.
Yeah, mainly you have three. You have this organization called the Indy Partnership, which represents the nine counties when they travel, you know, around the country and at trade shows and things like that. The idea is that, you know, a person from Greenwood would identify himself or herself as being from Indianapolis when they're in New York City.
Right.
So the idea was we're going to create this regional entity several years ago to represent the region and attract these leads. The second group that it involves is Indianapolis's own Economic Development Corporation that for a long time existed at the city of Indianapolis, and that's called Develop Indy. Mm-hmm. And I know this gets to be like alphabet soup, but for your, there's a third group that your listeners should know about, and they're called BOI, Business Ownership Initiative. They do a lot of, their focus is small business development. They do a lot of grants. They do some micro lending, and their mission, and they're funded by a variety of different sources, is to try to work with small businesses and help develop them and help grow them. So the reason that this became relevant in the chamber world is the work among those groups and others was becoming more siloed, mm-hmm. and there was criticism that maybe they weren't working together as much as they should. So that's one of the sort of changes we're talking about. The other thing that has changed in our community, and this is something that I've seen, when I worked for the city, a lot of times people, maybe from my parents' generation, would say to me, you know, in Indianapolis 30, 40 years ago, if you wanted to do something big, there were 25 names you'd call, and you got all those people in a room, and they'd say, here's what we're doing, and right. go forward. The leadership in this community, I think, has gotten more diffuse, but that's true of virtually every city. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it gives younger people the ability to, you know, get involved in a lot of other places, not maybe those, you know, 25 names in the city. So therefore, the chamber has got to do a better job of taking these, what people would associate with the traditional business interests, and trying to reach these younger emerging leaders, because some of them are involved in technology, some of them are involved at their community level, and in arts and culture, and in their neighborhood associations. There are a lot of young leaders in our community for whom I fear the chamber will not be relevant years from now if they don't adapt and they don't try to use the existing 3,000 plus members to try to reach these emerging leaders who maybe are coming up in a different type of Indianapolis.
We're talking with Michael Huber, the new president and CEO of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce. 239-1310. 239-1310 is our number. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620. Keyword Amos. A couple of issues that the one is a relatively new issue that the chamber has said nothing about yet. And this has to do with Indiana's new second chance law that took effect on July 1st. And we've been to a couple of the seminars that have occurred that have tried to start to explain the law. One of the provisions in the law requires employers to rejigger their employment applications so that as people start getting these legal expungements, they can honestly answer this new question. And we don't get a sense that the business community knows this new law has taken effect. So is that one of the things the chamber, I know that may not be number, you know, one on the top 10 list of things, but the chamber from a lot of listeners are saying, wait a minute, if this law is going to, this complex law is going to take effect, the business community has a role in that. Is this something where the chamber is going to have to get engaged, and for no other reason, tell their members, hey, there a law change, y'all got to get with the program?
So, short answer is, I start in 2 weeks, and yeah. It's something that I want to know more about. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you bring in new leadership, there's a chance to start fresh. But secondly, the board has told me that number one task is to update the plan and try to figure out what's the new chamber look like and how does the organization need to evolve. And that includes, and this is interesting, economic development has changed so much just in the last 10 years. I think traditionally it used to be about attracting, they call it smokestack chasing, attracting new companies to move to your city and things like that, having a favorable regulatory environment, things like that. Now, if you look at other cities that are really starting to thrive, it's more about developing the talent that resides in your own city, and if you do that, then you will attract other talented people. But it also includes reaching out to people who, low and moderate income people, but people who deserve a second chance. And we've got to make sure that doesn't get lost in this new, that we're not just talking about attracting, upper educated, college kids and retaining those folks. So this is something that I'm very much interested in finding about from you and your listeners because now is the moment. We got a window of time where we're going to be reaching out to dozens of leaders over the next couple of weeks as I get started to try to inform that plan.
One of the other things the chamber used to do when it was the 25 guys, when I told this story on the air, I've told it in print, there used to be meetings between the 25 guys in the general community and the 25 guys in the African American community, and they would come together. They used to be over the old Foster's Motor Lodge, and there would be you know, adult beverages served. There would be a lot of cigarette smoke because it was that environment in the day. And, relationships were built. For, you know, first, you know, they're very tense. A lot of all kind of words that you only hear on cable after 1 o'clock in the morning. Or on the MTV Music Awards, whichever comes first. But it built relationships, or at least you knew who everybody was. So if a crisis came along, you could deal with it, or it provided the civic leadership. So when we had certain crises, you could have a Don Tanzel, who ran Merchants Bank at the time, paired with a Lehman Adams, great dentist, to work on community problems. I don't see. That has not happened in recent years with the chamber. You're talking about bringing the new leadership. Okay, that's all well and good, but if the newer leadership in the general community isn't talking to the newer leadership in the minority community, we're going to have the same problem when I'm sitting at the retirement home and wondering, why is the city blowing up and we're not coming together?
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, it's easy for me to say as the new guy, but that is an area where if there is existing leadership in the city that feels like they haven't had the access and haven't had the voice, then that is clearly something that the organization needs to do a better job of bringing those folks together. You're right. It's not just about bringing the corporate entities together with the new, you know, young folks with ideas. It's the folks who have been around here for years. And so, yeah, I mean, to the extent, I hope you and your listeners would hold the chamber accountable to the extent that that's not happening, or to the extent that we had that and we lost it. I really want to know and then understand why.
Let me go to D at 239-1310. Hi, D.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
Hi, Mike. What I'm advocating is for the mental health and the SSI people that can work, but they have a mental problem, they have a health problem, they're on the streets, they have nowhere to go, they have no family to support them, and you see them and you wonder why that we don't have something like a hospital, training for these people, and where we could have an empty school building or something to start up something to get these people off the streets and see if we can help them as a citizen and help them as a human being. And I'll just hang up and let you confer on what is being done for the mental health of Indiana and Indianapolis.
That's a good point. People are going to see on the news tonight the situation with the homeless camp down by the railroad tracks on Davidson Street. And I know some in the business community are concerned about quote-unquote homeless and panhandlers, which are two really different groups of people. They really don't cross connect. There are some in the city that say we've done a great job redeveloping downtown. We've done a great job sort of redeveloping the Near East Side. Now we've got to deal with a whole lot of other areas in town that we've got to deal with, both in the old city limits and also in the township areas.
So, I hear what you're saying, and to the listener, clearly the community hasn't done enough, and that includes the business community. One thing that the chamber has done throughout its history, and I think we need to do more of. So, if you were to lend the support of a lot of different chamber members that had financial expertise and planning expertise and engineering expertise and things like that, to kind of provide a group, not exactly a think tank, mm-hmm. but a group to bring people together from different disciplines and say, okay, let's look at this problem that's created this tragic homeless situation now, try to come up with maybe solutions that could be brought to bear that maybe our government entities haven't thought of yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a perfect role for the chamber to play.
And that's what the chamber currently is doing with IPS.
Yes,
request going in, trying to figure out, all right, is there some ways we can save some money and put more money back in the classroom?
I agree. You're perfect. Example, taking that IPS project approach, the operational review that's taking place, and then applying it to another problem like the plight of the mentally ill. Now, part of my job would be then to convince the mainstream of the business community that what happens to the marginalized in the city does impact everybody's business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my point is what I've seen is I know that they've got 3,000 members. The talent resides in those organizations. If you could mobilize them and inspire to participate in these ways, and you could say, okay, here are three big community problems where we need your business expertise. It provides an opportunity for chamber members to participate in a meaningful way. and use their talents where they're having a different, actually making a difference, that maybe we could provide some more analysis and more options to people within government who are trying to tackle these solutions every day.
Let me go to Larry. All right, now he's going to get his indoctrination as head of the chamber at 239-1310. Hi there.
Well, it's pretty funny that he's trying to beat a chamber of commerce now, when the chamber of commerce, the lion's share are corporate welfare bums. The only thing he's going to do is, since he's been in with the Bauer administration, he knows how to bring them to the table. You look at Channel 16 anytime, you can see these bums down there bumming for money. He's going to be the one that goes out and rounds them up. Come on, boys, get your sop off the plate. There's nothing that's a disgrace. This city is turning to nothing but a dungeon and a city full of welfare bums. The Chamber of Commerce, ever since the boy quit and went into the priesthood, that's the last time we had a Chamber of Commerce, but the welfare bums will now take over the city because of Scott Huber or Mike Huber, whatever his name is going to be the chief bum maker.
Let me ask, in the past, there have been times when the president of the Chamber of Commerce has had to tell the mayor of the day, this idea isn't good, or you need to rework an idea this way. Can you tell your former boss your idea isn't working?
He would not have been supportive of me taking the position if he knew that I will have to do that on occasion. My boss is the business community. My boss is the board. And he knows how it works, right? I mean, I'm in a different role now, and if I don't serve the interests of the business community, the members, then I'm failing in my job.
The chamber had been very outspoken for over a decade about education and quality of public education here in Marion County. They really have been off the battlefield the last couple of years. Are they getting ready to get, under your administration, going to get back into the battlefield, or are they going to let others deal with that because there's some other priorities?
I don't know if I can say they're getting ready to get back on the battlefield, but I can tell you there's a shared sense on the board that the chamber has to have a stronger message. And the IPS project that you mentioned is very important because it gets the chamber really in the weeds, understanding the details of the operation, not involved at a political level. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this too, Amos. So my wife and I, we're trying to raise two little kids in downtown. This fall, we are moving to a house in Fall Creek Place. Mm-hmm. We are excited about that, and frankly, I just raise this as an example because we moved to that neighborhood, and there are multiple schools that that our son can walk to, a few of which didn't even exist 11 or 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to think that I get on a personal level how education and having good educational options for your kids improves your quality of life and your opportunity in that neighborhood. So I'd like to think I have a personal stake in that, in the education issue.
We're in the mid 8% unemployment in Marion County, and it has been relatively stagnant. The suburban unemployment is slowly dropping. The city's unemployment is stagnant. There are some in the community that are saying, wait a minute, if we start doing deals, economic deals, there needs to be some provisions for hiring Marion County only people, if for no other reason, at least we can get the income tax money from those jobs. What is the business community going to say to that? Because I think the instinctive reaction of the business community to some kind of requirement of that is going to be instinctively, oh, no, we don't want to do that. Don't give us that straitjacket. But unless we can get unemployment down 2 or 3 points, this whole state is not going to turn around in employment, because low unemployment in Indiana means low unemployment in Marion County.
So I dealt with this issue quite a bit when I was still working for the city, and I was working with my counselor, Vop Osley, mm-hmm. on an issue. And we were talking about a couple of new economic development transactions, like the redevelopment of Old Bush Stadium. Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. The request was that, can we take the resulting work from these deals and these, you know, new developments to train and get hired people in the neighborhood? And, it's a lot easier in concept than it is in implementation. You're right. Because then you start to, you know, you put requirements in place. Sometimes you get pushback among companies, things like that. I think it's really important that we continue to go down that road. However, to make it more sustainable, the business community has got to be linked with education to help not just, you know, create an opportunity for an individual on one construction job, but to help get that individual into vocational education and things like that. That's actually part one thing that's refreshing about some of our current dialogue is I think vocational education needs to be elevated because, you know, pipe fitters, you know, can make $70,000 and, you know, so, right. And some of the experienced trades. So I think that it's important that we do that, but I also think that there's a real opportunity there. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it with business coming together with education to try to, train these individuals and getting them into longer term programs to develop more specialized skills. And a lot of it is in this vocational or specialized manufacturing type fields.
Let me go. Elise will be our last caller with Michael Huber, the new president and CEO of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Elise.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine.
Good afternoon. And Mike, I just want you to explain what is the function of the Chamber of Commerce. I know there's a lot of probably young people don't know about what you do, so could you just explain that and I'll get off the phone?
See, that's why we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole country, because they get right down to what does a chamber do?
Thank you, Elise. I think, well, so we're potentially about to redefine our mission to keep up with the times, but I'm coming into this, and my orders from the board have been, the Chamber of Commerce exists to benefit the business community, but it also exists to help the business community benefit the city and the region in the most positive way possible. So if we do our jobs right, the business community will benefit because they still say, hey, we've got a voice. We're advocating for these policies that help business. But then it will work the other way as well, and that is the business community will feel like they are fully engaged in the future of the city and in trying to make life better for people who live here.
In the geographic area now that the chamber is responsible for, given that the federal metropolitan area now includes Madison County and Anderson, is that one of the issues the chamber is going to have to come to grips with? Because if you're out there trying to develop business in this area, in this partnership, the federal government says, no, wait a minute, we don't put this county back in with you guys. It's now economically integrated.
That is going to be an issue that we have to confront because
Anderson, they got a chamber.
Right, exactly. Anderson's got, you know, Fisher's got a chamber, right? Mm-hmm. Plainfield's got a chamber too. And so, yeah, I don't know what the answer is going to be yet. The good news is virtually every other major city wrestles with the same issue, and that is, should we have a more decentralized, in other words, should every city within the region have their own chamber and do their own thing, or should we have a big regional group that rolls everybody together? Right now, we've kind of got a combination, because we've got this group, the Indy Partnership that I mentioned before, and then yet we've got the counties that surround Indianapolis have their own chambers and local economic development organizations, and we're just going to have to go into that and look at our own model and try and be really critical and look at others that work.
A business community question, the Indianapolis Business Journal in the current issue raised in an editorial that it is time for the people who operate Circle Center Mall to upgrade the mall. All the other malls have been upgraded. This one needs to be upgraded. That's not a city responsibility. That's a responsibility of Simon and the partners, which include some of the key people in the business community. I mean, is that... And that's one of these little tricky issues that may end up, you got to play Solomon there.
Yeah, it could. And, the interesting thing with Circle Center Mall, I'm wondering, just as somebody who lives downtown right now and walks by there often, I'm wondering what effect the move of Gannett and the Indianapolis Star are going to have there.
Mall.
My hope is it'll be kind of a shot of energy into that south part of the mall in Georgia Street, but we'll have to see. But yeah, to answer your question, that is the type of issue that from time to time the chamber could get pulled into and asked to analyze it or weigh in. If the business community wants to have a voice on an issue, it's my job to make sure that they do.
Michael Huber, you start when? Middle of the month?
2 weeks.
Start in 2 weeks.
That's right.
All right. You see, and you get to walk to work? So right now?
I do, yeah.
Let me go to Donna right quick. Donna has a quick question. Hi, Donna, real quick.
Can you tell me, Mike, what the percentage of African American business are that are chamber members?
Oh, see, they're giving you great questions.
Yeah, I don't know yet. The answer is not enough. I mean, there's a admission among the board, and there's a consensus among the board that the organization, both in staff and in its members, has got to get more diverse and get younger. That is part of my role. So that's something I can report back to you, Amos. But I think the consensus is not enough.
Do you know what the total membership is?
Yes, by my last count, we have just over 3,000 members.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. See, Donald, you'll be the absolute last caller. You're getting popular here today. Yeah, 239-1310. Hi, Donald.
Hello, how are you?
Fine.
I was just calling in reference to, you made a comment about saying that most of the malls, all the malls here in the city had been upgraded except for Circle Center. Is that correct?
And I realized after I said it that Washington Square, has not. Yes.
It has not, have nothing done since 1978, where the other two other malls have had things done to them. So that's probably where we put most of the focus on at that point, because a lot of people on the east side are going venturing either south or north to go to a mall.
Maybe that far east side is also a neighborhood, Michael Huber, that people, that's an area where the people that live there make a good living.
Yes.
and the business and businesses that are there do there, but that mall has just struggled for reasons that nobody understands. Great question, great point, Donald. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, Michael Huber, good luck to you. Thanks very much
for
being
with
us. Glad to have you.
Thank you.